Oh, we're going in through the I mean, you know, a fantastic drive down through the main driveway into the grounds. Lovely fields, the trees, massive open spaces. When I used to work there myself, you know, one of the best things that you could do, especially when you were on the villas, that when you were understaffed and you know, and having lots of residents. Although, from what I understand, historically, when I was there, things had improved dramatically. We're not talking about the 30 people on a ward, as they used to call them in those days. When I was there, it was, I think, the most people I ever supported on a ward was 10, which 20 years previously you might have had 30 on exactly the same ward, but obviously they've been refurbished. But one of the best things that I could do in terms of the environment when things got a little bit hectic on the ward, when you get people, the residents get a bit upset or challenging, the best thing you could do is take people out for a walk for half an hour around the grounds, especially in the summer. And that used to do, I always say this to people, even though after I was qualified, when we were able to use, you know, medication and PRN medication as prescribed, half an hour's walk around the ground did far more than a medication would ever do for a person when they were challenged, particularly challenging or upset. I can't necessarily remember the first day, but I can remember going home during the first couple of weeks thinking, I'm not staying here for very long. Because it was completely, even though, you know, I'd met people, it was like a bit of, I'd never done any care work or anything like that before, you know. I can remember feeling quite, oh my God, what have I let myself in for, sort of thing, you know, because I was seeing, and it was deemed to be a ward. All female ward, but ladies with challenging behaviour as well, and I'd never experienced anything like that either, you know. So I can remember being feeling pretty scared, but I kept going back, kept going back. I had a nice staff team to work with as well. I had a really good charge nurse who I knew from, I'd known many. He was a lot older than me, but I knew him, who he was from the village, and he sort of took me under his wing as well, and the staff were just lovely. And eventually, after a few weeks, a couple of months, I just settled. And but because what we used to do in those days, we used to be allocated a group of residents, so you'd allocate a group of two or three, and it was your responsibility to make sure that those two or three people were up and ready for the day. And you would have basically be doing everything that needed to be done that they couldn't do themselves, you were doing for them. So I guess for the first few weeks, the training was that I was shadowing another member, a more experienced member of staff. So, you know, learning how to, you know, just watching people, bathing people, showering people, dressing people if needed. And then I'm trying to think if there was any formal mandatory training at the time. Nowadays there is, obviously, in all sorts of areas. And most people, day services are pretty good. I don't think it's quite as good as it was in the old days. But in those days, people used to have quite a full timetable of day services or activities. So Monday to Friday, you could guarantee it would start around about 9:15. You'd see the day services staff would start coming down and picking people up to take them up to day services, whether it be music therapy or art therapy or drama therapy, or with some people it was just walks around the grounds or off to the cafe or maybe out into the community to do some gardening or whatever it was. Weekends, things would be different because there were no day services on weekends, so activities were purely from us, from the nursing staff, if you like. So we'd organise things like, you know, either walks around the grounds or bus trips, as we used to call them, because we had a minibus that was donated to us. But because there was nothing specifically to get up for, 9 o'clock day services and nothing like that, so people just used to stay in bed for as well until they got up, really, unless it became, you know, 11:30, quarter midday, because you want some people not stay in bed all day. And sometimes they were, you know, you go to the canteen and order cooked breakfast for people and things like that as well. Oh, it was so I think if I was we used to have what we used to call a key worker system, sorry. A key worker system. So you were a key worker for each individual resident, and when you were a key worker, you were then responsible for sorting out and making sure that the person had appropriate clothes, they'd buy the clothes, you know, where possible, where the resident used to go out and help buy the clothes. But these, most of the clients on the residents on Villa 8 had quite a severe learning disability, limited communication skills. There wasn't anybody you could really verbally communicate with. So you had this key worker system, as I say, so you were responsible for you know, the decor in the bedroom and the clothes and what have you. Thankfully, I was never made a key worker because I was male. And I think because sometimes when I would get people ready in the morning, they quickly realised that my idea of colour coordination with ladies was pretty poor, really. I can always remember saying, apparently I dressed somebody once in like a... Although, you know, you'd encourage the residents to choose the clothes for the day. For the ones who couldn't, you were, you know, you had to make the choices for them. But I used to get people ready in all sorts of strange get-ups and what have you. So I was never made a key worker, and rightly so as well. Because I remember going on to other villas to, you know, I was probably shown round when I first started. And even, excuse me, in those days. And they had these old-style dormitories, or what they'd done is they just put wooden partitions up. But, you know, it wasn't on Villa 8. It was been completely. There was a big plaque on the wall that happened a couple of years before I got there. That I think it was the then Secretary of State for Wales, Wyn Roberts, I think, had been down and opened this newly refurbished Villa 8. Was seen as the way forward. Everybody had their own bedrooms. There weren't en suites. They had sinks, but there weren't showering facilities. So there were 7, but there were 10 beds. But over the 2 years I was there as a nursing assistant, we slowly filled up to the 10 beds, as I guess certainly weren't because of admissions, as other wards began to close and other people from those wards who weren't able to be resettled needed to be found up. But they weren't going to keep a ward open for one or two people, I guess, so they would move them into any beds that were available on some of the other wards. So eventually we did come up to 10, but it was 7 initially, which was just about right, I would say. And say there were 10 bedrooms, each with their own it's like a hotel floor, really. Yeah. You know, so with you know, so it seemed to be, you know, Villa 8, as I say, and Villa 7 had been refurbished as well, because they were attached to us. We were the posh villas of Bryn and Neath.
What did it sound like if you walk in there in the morning?
What did you hear? As in straight onto the villa?
Yes.
Depending, really. You start your shift at 7. You're on an early shift. You start at 7 o'clock. And then you'd have the nights. There was only one night staff at the time, 10 people. It wouldn't happen nowadays. One night staff, and so for the first quarter of an hour you'd have handover. So usually at that time of the morning there wasn't anybody up, unless somebody had an unsettled night, because you did have times when, you know, some of the residents had an unsettled night because of the behaviour. And so we had a couple of people with, you know, mental health problems as well. Yeah, it was obviously, you know, lots of people from the village. I mean, it was a big employer of the village. Nobody from my family as such, but a lot of people that I knew as parents of friends and what have you. And we always knew that it was a mental handicap hospital. And, you know, my experience of it, where I can remember as a child going down there, they used to have an open day once a year in the summer. It was called the Bryn y Neuadd. I think it was called the Open Day, or was it called the Fete? I can't remember. So that was when all flags were put up in the community. It was advertised everywhere. There were flags, I remember, going down the driveway. And then the community, you know, would come down, go down to the hospital, and there'd be stalls and games and things for kids and what have you to do. By the hospital, yeah. By the hospital, yeah. Bryn y Neuadd Open Day every I think that finished, it was still going on when I started working there in 1994, probably only a couple of years after that, I think, when it When it stopped, probably in the mid late 90s, it definitely used to go on when I was. And what used to happen was that each individual, because there were villas, as we used to call them, villa one, two, up to, I can't remember how many there were, but each villa, as well as the other things that would go on down there, because you'd get the fire service would go down there with the fire engines, and they could show the children and what have you. But each individual villa used to run their own stalls as well. So they'd have tabletop activities or selling things or cakes and things that the residents remember. And the residents, I remember, they'd all be mingling around and maybe, helping out on the stalls as well. Five-a-side tournament as well. I always remember there was a five-a-side tournament there. So it was quite a big thing for the village at the time, because we used to have the annual carnival in the village. And there was Bryn and Eyth Open Day. They were the two big things that used to go on in the village every summer.
What was the thinking behind having the Open Day?
I can honestly say, and I mean this, that in all the times I took people, and I took people on residence holidays as well. We'd go away for a few days at a time up to the Lake District. For people who couldn't go that far because, we'd be concerned if things didn't go so well, we'd go closer to home. So we went to Anglesey for holidays and things like that. And not only those, but day trips out and things like that on the bus or going out to pubs. I can honestly say I don't think I ever came across anyone in the public turning their noses up or saying you can't come in here with, because what we used to do, I was always told when I started, and it was my charge nurse who told me, I remember, and at the time, you just used to do it, and it was not rightly so, but you would always say, if you're going to go to a pub, or just pop in first, say if you're coming in for a meal or something like that, we're looking for a table for however many, 3-4 people. We've got some people with learning disabilities here. Would you be okay if we came in for a meal? So now looking back, why on earth would you have to say something like that? But at the time it was just told, it's polite just to, because you don't want to go in. I guess the feeling was you don't want to go in and then be told to get out. But that never happened. And nobody ever said, oh no, thank you very much, you don't want your custom here or anything like that. So I never really saw negative attitudes towards us when we were out in the community, whether it's certainly not in Llanfairpwll, but even they would mostly. Sometimes some of them used to have activities that would go on all day. I can remember taking people, one particular lady, we used to take ice skating in Deeside, and this lady was blind, and no hearing as well, and she used to love going ice skating in Deeside. So that, that was an hour away. So you'd go about, 10 o'clock, and you'd go thing, and she used to sit on a slide, in Deeside, the ice rink there, and she used to love pushing herself and with somebody guiding, one of the instructors there. And and horse riding we used to do as well in the local horse riding centres. And during those times, you'd either, if it was the summer, you could order a packed lunch for the residents from, or maybe you'd just go out and, cafe or have some chips or whatever. Yeah. These people, the residents, used to have to live with each other 24 hours a day. Why on earth would they want to spend their leisure time with each other as well? Because, they didn't choose who they wanted to live with. They didn't get a choice, did they? So were you possible, where you were able to give them a break from each other? And, invariably there were. I used to get on each other's nerves and, tensions would be raised. So, as I say, depending on the time of year and depending how many staff you're down, you might go for a walk around the grounds. On the weekends, there was usually a treat night, like Friday or Saturday, to get money out of the residents' bank in the morning, and it would be to go and get some a Chinese for tea or fish and chips or something like that, on a Friday or a Saturday night.
Was the recreation hall in use?
So you'd have 3 bathrooms, shower rooms, and then I think there were probably about 3 with toilets in them, but there'd be 3 toilets as well down the bottom. They were proper toilets with locked, where they could lock the doors. They weren't like the old-fashioned ones where you could look over the top and things like that.
Were they locked from the inside?
They could be locked from the inside, but they could also be unlocked from the outside. It was like one of those, you could put a coin in And they weren't keys, they were ones that you could twist from the inside, but also we could, you know, just in case it was necessary, obviously, because of epilepsy or whatever, because we used to have people with epilepsy on the ward.
Were the bath shower units, are they enclosed and private for the patients?
Yeah, completely, yeah, completely. Yeah, the shower, one of them had, you know, all the necessary equipment, like hoists and things like that to get people in and out. The bath that used to go up and down, an electronic bath type thing. Residents, we used to call them. Yeah, I think it was around about that time, 1994, where there was a big shift in terminology, in terms of, you know, mental handicap, learning disability. I think it was still, were we still using the term down in Bryn, mental handicap in those days? I can't remember. There was learning disability, and also patients and residents, because patients made, you know, it was like more of a medical, made it more of a medical model, didn't it? Whereas there was the shift to call people residents, and that's the way, I think. You know, terminology changes all the time, doesn't it? And rightly so as well, because things go out of fashion, don't they? And things become, you know, not appropriate anymore. And it's changed in the time that I've been here. Now it's service users and clients and things like that. But, you know, it was residents rather than patients.